If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, we'll begin there in just a second. Matthew chapter 18. And in the few moments I have to speak with you this morning, I want to talk about a fairly simple topic, a first principle topic, but one that we nonetheless need to be reminded of from time to time, as are all the first principle lessons that we can learn from Scripture. But that is on the topic of forgiveness. Of course, here in Matthew 18, we have the parable of the unforgiving servant that we'll read in just a second. But the forgiveness is something that's obviously very important in the aspect, a very important aspect in the life of a Christian. Of course, it's one that we needed in order to first become a Christian. We needed forgiveness of our sins, and we know that we gain that through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's also something that we need to be able to do to others in order to be faithful as Christians. So it's essential that we understand this concept and that we apply this concept to our lives as we see examples of it in Scripture. And so in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21, we read that Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Of course, we've talked about this before. That's not a literal 70 times seven. We're talking in Revelation about some numbers and some things that are representatives and what those numbers mean. And we've talked about the number seven being a number of a perfection or completeness, of fullness. And so the idea here is you forgive him as many times as he comes to you and asks for your forgiveness. And then the Lord goes into a parable here in verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." And so the moral of this parable, the lesson that we want to learn for this, of course, is that part of our job as being servants of Christ and being children of God is to forgive those who ask forgiveness of us. Just as our heavenly Father forgave us a debt that we could not pay, no matter what we do on this life, no matter how good we are, no matter how good works we do, we cannot earn that salvation. It's a free gift, it's a gift of mercy, and it's a forgiveness that God has given to us that we have not earned. And just as he forgave us, we should forgive those who come to us for forgiveness. But we see a lot of times that this can be difficult to do. We see examples in the world of those that do not have this forgiving heart and do not do those things that were required of us in Scripture. Our job when somebody comes to us and asks forgiveness is not to seek fairness. It's not to seek what in our minds might be justice. It's not to seek vengeance. We're told in Romans 12:19 that vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. That's the attitude that we are to have, is that we are to forgive those that come to us. We're not to seek that vengeance against them. We're not to seek to repay them for what they did to us or to get back at them. We're simply to trust that their heart is pure, that their motives are pure, and that repentance is pure, and we are to not judge their hearts, but forgive them as our Father forgave us. And we see examples of this attitude in Scripture. In Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And that actually mentioned Stephen here in his as a martyr in class this morning. But in Acts chapter 7, we see the response that Stephen had of to these men as they were stoning him for his testimony of Christ and his believing Christ and preaching Christ. And we see at the end of this account there in Acts chapter 7, and in verse 59 and 60, as they stoned Stephen, he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, think of the type of heart that it takes for Stephen to be able to, in the midst of these people persecuting him to the point that he was going to die, the physical pain that he was in, and the fact that his life was quickly about to come to an end, and he still had that forgiving spirit about him. He asked the Lord to not charge them with that sin. And, you know, certainly something that we can learn from, certainly something that we can look to aspire to as far as our attitude towards those who are doing harm against us. We're told to love our enemies and pray for those who spitefully use us and afflict us. And that's something that is much easier said than done, especially in the moment. It's why we need to think about these things. We need to meditate on these things. And we need to, you know, be prepared for those situations. We might not be able to predict the exact time or moment that we're going to face persecution. But if we're constantly in our minds thinking, hey, when somebody does something to me, I'm going to get them, or we can think about our response when somebody does something wrong to us. And the more that we think about that response in a way that's godly and righteous, whatever the persecution might be, the easier we're going to be able to have that attitude that Stephen had and respond in a godly way with that attitude of forgiveness. We also see this, of course, the greatest example of this we see is with Christ. In Luke chapter 23, as Christ was being crucified on the cross at Calvary, we see this very same attitude that Stephen professed by our Lord. Luke 23 and verse 24. Verse 34, as Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lot. And so again, Jesus, as he's suffering on the cross, and in Jesus' case, we know he did not deserve what he was going through. He was suffering because of the sins that we committed. He certainly was not guilty of anything, and yet he has that attitude towards those that were doing that horrible crime and horrible thing to him. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to look to these examples for how we should be when others come to us and ask for forgiveness, or how to act when others have done wrong against us. We need to be careful not to let the world's views of forgiveness influence us. You know, the world looks at things in fair or unfair. And the world looks at things, they look at, you know, incidents that happen to people, and they think that they have the right to be vindictive, to seek vengeance, as we talked about earlier. We look at the examples in Scripture of Job, all these horrible things were happening to him, and what did his friends tell him to do? They told him to curse God. But he understood his place. He understood the proper way to act. He realized that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and he had the proper attitude when those bad things were happening to him. You know, me and my wife, we've got a few TV shows that we like to watch from time to time, dramas. My wife likes watching some of those dramas on TV. And one thing I noticed that's kind of a common theme throughout those, and you may have noticed this too in some of the shows that you might watch, but when something bad happens to somebody, or when somebody is done wrong, whatever it might be, you get the sense that they have a right to act evil towards somebody else because of what's been done to them. Regardless of the situation, maybe somebody cheated on somebody, or somebody lied to another person, and so they were lied to and it hurt them, and so now they're just acting horrible towards everybody around them. And the idea, the context of the show is that they have a right to act that way because of what was done to them. But as a Christian, we know that that's not true, right? We're told to love one another. We're told to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're told to love our enemies. That's not just when we're in a good mood. That's not just when things are going well for us or everything is good and happy and things aren't difficult. We're not going through trials and tribulations. That's through every aspect of our lives. Yes, sometimes that's harder to do than others. When we have been wronged and we feel that way, it's very difficult for us to act pleasant towards everybody else around us and to especially act in a way we should towards that person that harmed us. But as Christians, that's something that we are called to do. And forgiveness is our attitude that is going to help in leading to that forgiving attitude when those that have wronged us ask for forgiveness from us. In 1 John, if you would turn with me there, 1 John chapter 1. But in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9, we're told if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so one thing that we can be sure of is that the Lord is going to forgive us if we confess our sins to Him. But as Ian read to us in our scripture reading this morning, we have a part to play in that as well. In Matthew chapter 6, to read that again, verses 14 and 15, we're told, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But we can be sure that the Lord is going to forgive us, but we must first be willing to forgive those who trespass against us. Just as the parable of the unforgiving servant that we read earlier. In verse 15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And so again, wanted to just remind ourselves of this idea of forgiveness and what the proper way is for a Christian to act when we are wrong, when we are mistreated. We're not to have those thoughts of vengeance or those thoughts of evil towards those that do wrong against us. If we have those, then it's going to be very difficult to forgive them when they ask. And when they ask, we're to give them not seven times, but 70 times seven, as the Lord told Peter. And again, that's the idea that as many times as someone comes to us and asks for our forgiveness, we should stretch out that hand of forgiveness to them. We're not to be to judge and be judges of the heart. That's not our place. That's the Lord's place. We're simply to take what's in front of us and to be forgiving to those who ask for it. So Romans 12:12, we're told not to be conformed to the world. And that also applies to this idea of forgiveness. And I just wanted to give you a reminder of that. Again, pretty simple first principle lesson, but it's good to go over these things from time to time and remind ourselves of how we are to act as followers of Christ. And so with that, the lesson is yours. We want to offer an invitation this morning to those who are here. There might be some that have not put on Christ and I'm not taking advantage of that promise of forgiveness if we confess our sins to Him. The baptistry is ready for those that might need to do that this morning. There might be those that need to ask forgiveness for something they've done wrong from their brethren. If we can help you in any way spiritually, we ask that you would come forward now as we sing the song that's been selected.